across this because we've been going through the book of John. And we've been, John is basically says one thing. In the book of John, if you want to do the AI on it, I'm surprising how good AI is. Now, it doesn't get everything right, but it really kind of, you can put in something and it'll give you the AI generated summary of it. You just ask it a question. And so I'm constantly asking these questions, Bible questions to AI, and it's constantly spitting this stuff back. And I'm like, you know, it's pretty good. It's not, you know, I wouldn't rely on it, but it's pretty accurate in most areas. It gets some stuff wrong. It's still kind of a mixed message AI. But I was looking at this, and I was looking at how many times the word believe is mentioned in John. How many times in the book of John is the word believe found? It's almost 100 times, depending on the translation. It's like 98 times. 90 to 100, somewhere in there, you will find the word believe. And because John is a book, said it was written for those that we might believe. Believe what? Believe in Jesus, right? And so that's kind of the perspective that he's coming from. But then you see Jesus running into the religious people, the Pharisees, and the educated ones, the holy ones of that time. And you see him constantly running into these guys. He doesn't have anything good to say about them. And you know, wait, hold on. These are the religious and the learned and the scholars. They know about Moses' law. They can quote the Ten Commandments. How many here can quote the Ten Commandments? I can't. It's like, I can kind of give you kind of a taste of it. But these are those people. And every time Jesus sees them, he says, you're of your father, the devil. Whoa. And I'm like, wow, where is he coming from? And you see this didn't start when he came to earth. Jesus is God, came to earth. You know, I talked about last week how the Trinity kind of throws our thinking off a little bit. Here's one God. When you see Jesus, you see God. He said it himself. You've seen me, you've seen the Father. It's why they killed him. Because he said, I am. Ooh, only one person can say I am. That's Jehovah. You're saying you're Jehovah? That's right. In the flesh, sinless, right here in front of you. Holy, blameless, I am the Son of God. And I am God. You see me, you see the Father. And so I was looking in Jeremiah, just doing some cursory reading. This didn't start when Jesus came, this bashing up against the religious people. He says in Jeremiah 2, he says, has a nation changed its gods, little g, which are not gods, little g. But my people, now who's his people when we're in the Old Testament? The Jewish people. The Israelites, the Jews are his people. Who's his people now? You are. You are. The believer. And like I said, I've been accused before of displacement theory. It's not displacement theory, it's expansionist theory. It's like doctrine. It's like, okay, he came first to the Jew, that's biblical, then to the Gentile, right? So whoever believes in him is the church. We are believers, spiritual Israel. Okay? And I know, and I've told you guys before, I grew up thinking, don't say anything bad against Israel, because God will get you, because that's a special blessing on Israel. No, there's not. The special blessing is on those who believe. The Abrahamic covenant, Genesis 12, 2, I will bless those that bless thee, curse those that curse you. Of the seed of Abraham, Jesus being the seed, singular, not plural, you are of the seed of Jesus, you are blessed. Amen. Period. Doesn't matter what your lineage is, if you're Jewish, Muslim, Catholic, Baptist, Methodist, Mormon, whatever you are. All that stuff is actually out there to interfere and to prevent you from coming to God. Religion is the greatest enemy of knowing who he is. Period. The greatest enemy. You know? And this is why so many people are turned off by religion. Okay, and we are not, like you say, we are not people of religion. We are not traditions, and I got to do this, and I can't do that. We are free in Jesus. We have been liberated. We have been born again. We're holy, blameless, and righteous. And but I was reading, it says, my people have changed their glory for what does not profit. Be astonished, O heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Now, this is 600 years before Christ. So I'm going to show you, this is nothing new. Be very desolate, says the Lord, for my people have committed two evils. What do? Go watch a bunch of porn? Go get in a bunch of orgies? Go get drunk? What did they do? What did they go kill a bunch of people? What did they do? What did they do? What two evils did they do? Oh, well, let's look. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. Whoa. That's number one. They are forsaking God, the fountain of living waters. What does Jesus come along and say? When Jesus comes along, what does he say? I am the living water. You drink of me, you'll never thirst again. Remember that? In the Old Testament, we see God as the manna, as the bread. In the New Testament, we see Jesus come along and say, I am that bread. I am the bread of life. If you eat of me, you'll never hunger again. Amen? So he says, two evils have been done. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and they've hewn, I can't say that word, Paul help me, H-E-U-N, hewn themselves cisterns. They have dug out, they have made themselves cisterns. Everybody knows what a cistern is, to collect water. Broken cisterns that can hold no water. So Jeremiah is already calling them out and saying, look, guys, you're already broken. I forgot my dog ate a part of my John. Not good. Not good. Not good. So, but those are the two evils. Those are the two evils they've committed. And if you think about it, that's what God is more concerned with. He's concerned with, wait, you have been led astray by these other little G's. Religions. AI. Go to AI. You can find everything there now. Over 4,000 or 5,000 different religions in the world. Everybody has their own religion, because some man will stand up and say, I have found the way. Follow me. And about 100,000 people will do that. Okay, where are we going? Show me the way. Okay, follow me. We have to shake hands this way. We have to wear a certain kind of clothes. We have to speak a certain way. We have to talk a certain way. We have to sleep a certain way. We have to drive a certain type of car. We have to do a certain type of handshake. What country club are you a member of? That's why I used to go, growing up, I would go, what church do you go to? What country club do you go to? What country club are you a member of? Okay, you can't join my church. You've got to be born into the church I'm in. You've got to be born again. Nicodemus, what must I do to be saved? You've got to be born again, brother. Why? How do I go back in my mother's womb? No, you're not getting it. It's spiritual. This whole book is about the Spirit of God. It's not about what you can see with your physical eyes. Last week we talked about Jesus healed the blind man. The more important thing about him healing the blind man was not that he got his physical sight, but he believed. We're going to see that today. We're going to see, he says, who is this guy so that I can believe? He says, you're looking at him. I believe. He's in heaven. He's with the Lord today. And it's not like this something thing. I also growing up, I used to think, okay, I'm going to be with God one day. You ever thought about this? I'm going to be with God one day. One day when I die. No, you're with him now. His Spirit is in you. His Spirit is in you. He goes wherever you go. He goes with you. He leads you. He goes before you. He puts a hedge around you. The angel of the Lord encamps about the one who fears God. Amen? Amen. Come on. He's with you now. You're driving down the road and you're talking to God. Yep. He's not something up there somewhere where we got to bow down and pray. at a certain time every day. Or we're going to put our little prayer rug out or whatever you want to do. Put your little candles out and create this little false image and worship some false little G. We don't need all that. You know, man's the one who comes up with all that. Let's set the tone. You ever been to a nightclub? I've never been to a nightclub. I was only a former DEA agent. So, yeah, I've been to a lot of nightclubs, believe me. A lot of clubs I shouldn't even have walked into, but I went into. And a lot of our work was in those type of clubs. And you ever go in a nightclub, what's the first thing you hear? Boom, 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 boom. You hear that music, that beat. What kind of music is it? Secular, right? It's worldly music. And you know what it's talking about. It ain't talking about the good things of God, right? It's talking about flesh, flesh, flesh. And it sets the tone. And we do that same thing on the opposite end. We do that same thing in our religious institutions. We set the tone. We set the certain feeling. We want to get a feeling. We chase after a feeling. God is not a feeling yet. Well, is he a feeling? He can be. But if you're chasing after just the feeling of God, God, I want to feel close to you. He's already as close to you as he can be. Just be quiet and listen. Just listen. What's he telling you today? You know, we surround ourselves with all these distractions of life. And we wonder, why do we not know what God is trying to tell us? I'll tell you the first thing he's trying to tell you every day, the moment you wake up. You know what the first thing he's trying to tell you? I love you. The first thing he tells you in the morning, I love you. And there's not a thing you can do about it. Well, God, well, what if I don't do good things today? I still love you. What if I do a really bad thing today? I still love you. Well, what do you want me to do? What do you want to do? God says, delight yourself in the Lord. I'll give you the desires of your heart. Why don't we just delight ourselves in the Lord and walk in that? What do you want to do today? He's going to go with you. If you feel that leading, then follow it. Do what God's putting on your heart. And so we see that this is nothing new where Jesus is saying, guys, you've forsaken me. The glory is gone. I'm moving on now to a people that I did not know, that I did not call, that had no blessing on them. And Paul comes along and takes the message to the Gentiles, to all the world. And the Jewish people are still sitting there in disbelief, like, wait. We are the children of Abraham. And Jesus is saying, no, you're not. Because if you were of Abraham, you would know me, and you don't know me. The children of Abraham are those who believe that Jesus is the Lord our God. Amen? I want to read you one thing real quick. This came out of a book. I love this guy, Paul Ellis. The Gospel in 10 Words. If you want a copy of this, we can get it for you. The Gospel in 10 Words. How is that possible? He says, history's greatest preachers have always proclaimed a simple gospel with few words and much power. Paul brought the kingdom of heaven to the pagan city of Corinth with nothing more than a 5-word gospel. Jesus Christ and him crucified. Period. Boom. Finished. That's good news. What is the gospel? Good news. What's good about a man being crucified? Because he was God. And he paid our way. That's good news. And he willingly did that for you. Peter needed only 12 words to declare to his fellow Jews the good news. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Huh. Wow. 3,000 believed and were saved that same day. John needed only 7 words to herald the end of the old covenant and the dawn of the new. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And Jesus just needed 9 words to reveal himself. as the end of all our searching. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Wow, we can just close the Bible and go home. But guys, you know, all my life, and I really believe why God called me to preach, and he called me to preach many, many, many years ago, and I gradually got into it, started preaching into prisons, and I ended up here, of all places, Heber City. I never in my life, when I lived here 30 years ago, I moved to Salt Lake when I was 24, 25, wow, what happened, right? And now I'm back. But never in my life would I have thought I would be preaching in Heber City, Utah, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Never in my life. I drive through here and there's like people driving on tractors still. Yeah, there was no Jordan Dell. There was no ski resorts. There was, you know, this, I think Sundance was there, but it had like one ski lift. You had to carry your own skis up and ski down, something like that. But man, what God has done. Amen. So we talked about last week how Jesus healed the blind man who was born from birth. We're into this argument now. There's this big argument going on now where he received his sight. And it said they brought him who was formerly blind to the Pharisees. Now it was the Sabbath when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Well, we got a problem there, don't we? If we're religious people, we got a real problem there. You can't do nothing on the Sabbath day, okay? And they considered healing a blind person a work, okay? What's the works of God? Good things. We talked about this last week. What's the works of God? Good things. Remember back in Genesis, and he created on this day, and he created on this day, and he created on this day, and every time he said he saw it was good. And he saw it was good, and it was good, and it was good, and it was good. It was very good. I can't remember which day it was. He blessed twice. He said it was good twice. And what was cool was he made man on the sixth day. And this took me years to figure this out. And it dawned on me, wait, he made man on the sixth day, and on the seventh day he said, rest. Huh? Yeah. Yeah, rest. So you created me, and then you immediately just told me to rest. Yeah, no, don't go to work yet. You're going to go to work, but not yet. Just rest. Rest. And how do we rest today? How do we rest? In him. So we know that no matter what comes against us, it's not going to prevail. We know the little aggravations of life. And if you've walked more than 24 hours in the world, you know what they are in your own life, the things that aggravate you, the things that make you angry, the stuff that really puts you in turmoil. And we can just all sit there and go, wait, hold on a second. Let's put this in perspective. I am a holy, righteous person by the blood of Christ. What am I worried about? And what am I concerned about? You know, all my life, I've been motivated by money. I want to make money. I need to make money. I was in the wrong business because I worked for the government. But I already knew I'm not going to make that much money. But I'm just saying, I always thought about I needed to have enough money to... I thought I had my phone off, and it's my wife calling. I thought we were off here. Sorry. I put it on do not disturb. Oh, I know what it is. When you put it on do not disturb, it still lets your favorites come through. All right, yeah. Okay, so we're back in John, and he brought this man forward. He said the Pharisees asked him how he had received his sight. Now, if anybody ever asks you, how did you receive your sight? Just tell them one simple word, Jesus. How did you start seeing the truth and start seeing what the lie really was? Because, guys, we need to pray for people because it is a spiritual battle. They cannot see the spiritual truth because there's so many lies out there. And if I was Satan, I would do it the same way. I would do it the same way. I would start a religion, and I would make it look really, really good. And the Bible warns of that. It says Satan masquerades as an angel of light. Not a little redheaded or a little horny, got the horns and the tail and the red tail. No. He masquerades as an angel of light. He masquerades as something good. Religion. You know, when I married my wife, she was Catholic. And I talked to her before we got married. I said, you understand, you don't pray to Mary, right? You understand that, right? Well, now I do. Her mom died during COVID. Bless her heart. Loved the Lord. But her mom, late in life, came to understand the lies she had been told by the church. She came to understand it. Her mom could not read. Her mom could not read. So she had to listen to whatever the priest would tell her. And the priest would spit a lot of lies out. There's one intercessor. Are you okay, Teresa? Are you okay? Okay. All right. But there was a lot of lies being spread. So, the Pharisees asked him again, how you received the sight? He said to them, he put clay on my eyes and I washed and I see. Was anything magical about the clay? No. Was there anything magical about the pool of Siloam? No. Just like there's nothing magical when you get baptized by water, the water doesn't baptize you. You get baptized by the Holy Spirit. Now you're baptized. The baptism by the water is just an outward expression of an inward change. God has moved in. He owns you now. He says, I see. Therefore, some of the Pharisees says, this man is not from God. How in the world could you just put, how hardened of a heart do you have to see a man in Heber City, you've been walking in Heber City for 30, 40 years, and you see a man that's blind, and he's been sitting on a street corner, and he's been begging for food, and people throw him a little bit of change every now and then, maybe bring him something to eat, get him a coffee, make sure he gets home, has a warm blanket to sleep. And all of a sudden, you see the guy walking around, seeing. That's a changed man, right? That's a 360 change right there. And how hardened can you be to say, wait, that's not the man? They're correct in one aspect. That's not the same man. But it is the same man. This guy's a changed man because he has had an encounter with the living God. And anytime you have an encounter with the living God, you're changed forever. Forever. And so they brought him there, and they said, this man is not from God. He doesn't keep the Sabbath. Others said, how can a man who is a sinner, they're calling Jesus a sinner, do such things? Remember the Bible talks about we're going to call evil, people are going to call evil good and good evil? It's nothing new. They were doing it back then. They were calling the Holy One of God, the Holy One of Israel, they were calling the wonderful counselor, mighty God, Prince of Peace, Alpha and Omega, the great I am, a sinner. Because he did not meet their religious expectations. You don't dress like we dress. You don't talk like we talk. You're not a member of our club. And they're calling him a sinner. And there was division among them. They said to the blind man, again, you're going to see they're going to ask him more than once because they can't fathom what's happened, the change in this person. They're so hardened. They said, what do you say about him? Because he opened your eyes. And the man said, he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents. Now they're going to go call the parents. of him who had received his sight. And they asked them, they asked the parents, is this your son, whom you say was born blind? How then does he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but by what means he now sees, we do not know, or who opened his eyes, we do not know. He is of age. Ask him. He will speak for himself. Well, they've already asked him, and they don't believe him. They're going back to the source of him, his parents. And why are his parents deflecting back to them? Well, it tells us. His parents said these things because they fear the Jews. Now, how many people today are caught in a religion that are fearful to embrace the truth because they're afraid of their religion people? The religious people will cast them out or cast stones at them. Or, you know, a religious system. I told you, I was caught up. I was raised Southern Baptist. And when I left the Southern Baptist denomination, so to speak, and went to a Calvary Chapel, so to speak, which is really another denomination. Everybody says, oh, we're non-denominational, but we have rules. And we have doctrines. And we have, you know, you need to agree with all this. You agree with all that? Wait a second. I agree that Jesus is the Lord. How about that? Can I come in now? Can I come in now? Well, how about Calvinism? Do you believe in Calvinism? Do you believe in the rapture? Do you believe? What about I just believe Jesus is Lord? Can I come into your church now? Well, we'll work on you. But when I left the Southern Baptist denomination and went to Calvary Chapel, I was fearful because my dad was a Southern Baptist preacher. Not only my dad was a Southern Baptist preacher, my grandfather was a Southern Baptist preacher. Not only my grandfather was a Southern Baptist preacher, my great-grandfather was a Southern Baptist preacher. Not only my great-grandfather was a Southern Baptist preacher, my uncle was a Southern Baptist preacher. Everybody was Southern Baptist. I'm like this black sheep coming along going, I'm going to go over to this other church because I'm in search of the truth. I don't care what you say. I'm in search of the truth, and I don't feel like I'm getting all of it here. I don't care what you say about me. You got to get to that point. We got to get to that point. People have to get to that point where they don't care what other people think. I want to know the truth. Have I been lied to? Yes, we have been lied to. Believe me. Believe me, we've been lied to. And so here, they're trying to find, these Pharisees are trying to find out what's going on, what's going on. And so his parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone confessed that he was Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. Wow. How manipulative is fear on people's lives? You know, I Googled another thing. AI came up with this other thing that I Googled. You know how many times, you know the most common phrase in the Bible? Take a guess. And it's not love. You would think God is love. That would be one of the most common. Do not fear. Do not fear. It's like 300. Somebody made a comical thing about it. I was reading in, what's that little, there's a little forum that people write in. It starts with a Q. Something like that, yeah. I was reading, there's some people in there. Yeah, there's actually 365 times, depending on the translation. There's one for every day of the year. Do not fear. I said, that's a good analogy. Do not fear. Why? Because I am with you. Do not fear. I am the way. Do not fear. I am the peace. I am what you've been looking for. I am everything you've been looking for in one person. I am the great I am. And so here they go. They say they're feared. They feared the Jews. They feared they're going to get cast out. Therefore, his parents said, he is of age. Ask him. So they again, it's the third time. They called the man who was blind. They said to him, give God the glory. Give God the glory. Whew. I'm sick of religious people going around saying, give God the glory. You don't even know God. We know that this man is a sinner. This is what they're saying. Two-faced. Give God the glory. We know he's a sinner. Wait. That is God. Are you out of your mind?
You can't see because your hearts are hardened and you're rebellious people, stiff-necked, rebellious people. God said, I've held out my hand. I've stretched out my hand all day long. What else have I got to do? And God is saying that to this world today. What else have I got to do? I sent my only begotten son, listen carefully, only begotten son, to give you what? Grace. And to bring you back into union with me, the one who truly loves you and will never forsake you and will bring you through anything in your life that you're going through. Anything. Just ask him. God, you got to show up. I need you to show up. He will show up. And so here he is. He says, they again ask him. They say, give God the glory. We know this man is a sinner. I mean, how deceived are they? How much do they have to lie? He answered and said, and I love this. It's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. You're going to find out I have a lot of favorite verses in the Bible. It depends on the day. But I love this one. Whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I know, everybody get ready to jump up and shout about this, that though I was blind, now I see. Hallelujah. Woo! Whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I know, I was once blind, now I see. Wow! I've got new life. I can walk around and see the world as it is, and I can all, and no, more importantly, I can see God for who he is. He's a good God. He's a good God. He's not somebody out to get you and beat you up and make you feel guilty and bad about yourself. That's the devil accusing you. You know, you're not good enough. You're not good enough. That's religion speaking. God says, oh, you're more than good enough. I created you just the way you are. How many times have I said this, and I'll have other Southern Baptist pastors even come down to me, you can't tell them that, Chuck. You can't tell them they're good. You can't tell them that they're, you know, they gotta work. They gotta perform. I'm like, Jesus did all that. Why I want to lie to somebody? Okay, Jesus did the performance. We enjoy it. We rest in it. We can literally go to sleep. I've said it 100 times. He's in the boat. The waters are coming over. Jesus is in the boat. What's he doing? Is he worried? No. Well, why are you worried? Hey. Jesus, wake up. Dude, don't you know who's in the boat with you? I'm in the boat with you. Peace be still. Everything's quiet. I love it. Though, I don't know who he is, but I know I was once blind, now I say. Then they said to him again, what did he do to you? Go back and read John 9 and just see how many times they just keep asking the same question in a different way. You ever had anybody do that? They want you to answer a certain way, but they can't quite get you to answer the way they want you to. So they'll ask you, okay, again now, what's your opinion on the presidential race? And let's, and they want you to agree with them, and you're not agreeing with them, and they're going to pull out all the stops here. And this is what the religious ones are doing. What do you do? What did he do? How did he open your eyes? He answered them, I told you already. And you did not listen. Is that a problem, people? How many times you heard the truth and you choose not to listen? Okay, listen to me. You choose not to listen. Listening is something you choose to do. Men, don't look at your wives right now. Because us men have very selective thinking, right? We're like, if it's something important to me, I'll listen. If it's not important, well, I'm not important to you. No, you're important, sweetie. It's just right now the football game's on. but you know what I'm saying. So they're trying to ask him. He said, you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? And this is really going to make him mad. Do you also want to become his disciples?
Boy, this hit him really hard when he said that. They reviled him. He said they reviled him and said, "You're his disciple, but we are Moses' disciple." Wow. And you're a sinner. And you're his disciple, but we're Moses. We got the first five books, bro. Yeah, and we can quote chapter verse. Back then they didn't have chapter verse. But whatever. We can quote all five books of Moses. Moses. Abraham's our father. Yeah, who are you? Where are you from? You're nothing. You're a sinner. You were born in fornication. We know your story. Your wife was pregnant before y'all even got married. We know your story. Nothing good can come out of Nazareth. That's another lie. We already talked about that. Jonah came out of Nazareth. Several prophets came out of Nazareth. You know, this funny thing about religion, they'll look you in the face and tell you a bald-faced lie straight to your face. And you call them on it again. No, we're telling the truth. No, you're not. They reviled him. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we don't know where he is from. Talking about Jesus. This fellow. This sinner. The man answered and said to them, Why, this is a marvelous thing. He's really going to make him mad again. That you do not know where he is from, yet he opened my eyes. Now, you guys are the religious leaders, and you don't know where he's from? He opened my eyes, bro. And you don't even know? And he says, okay. He says, now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. Since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered and said to him, you are completely born in sins. And are you teaching us? And they cast him out. People can't handle the truth. Can't handle it. Tell me a lie. Tell me something good. Tell me something, you know. Tell me how good I am apart from God. I like that. I'm my own man, self-made. You ever heard the concept of self-made? I'm a self-made man. Yeah, I'm self-made. Didn't need no help from no one. Came up from the scratches. Came up from the dust and just made my own way. Now look at me, multi-millionaire, billionaire. Got my own jet, got 25 million houses and $25 million in my checking account. What, you want me to write you a check? How much? Here you go. Yeah. So you're teaching us. And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. Whoo. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. Let that sink home. But that's not gone, because Jesus is going to come to the rescue of the ones that are cast out by the system. You get cast out by the system, he's there waiting to pick you up. He's there to show you the truth, the way, the life, the living water, the bread. Wow. Isn't that cool? And he heard, he cast him out. And when he had found him, what? You mean he went looking for him? This guy's nobody. He's been sitting there begging all his life. Big man, you got a little change? You got an extra jacket? It's a little cold outside. He's got nothing to offer Jesus. Nothing. And Jesus is seeking him out now. Why? Because his heart. He's ready to know who Jesus is. We got to get past the religion before we can find out who Jesus really is. And so he says, he found him, he said to him, and we got a few more verses and we're going to be through chapter 9. Hallelujah, can't believe it. Wow, making progress. We only took about 10 weeks for chapter 8. We're going to do chapter 9 in like 2 weeks. Man, Chuck's on speed now. All right, so he found him. This is what he said to him when he found him. He looked for him. Remember, this guy's got nothing to offer nobody. He was completely helpless and blind. He was going to die in his sin. No hope, no nothing. You ever think you're desperate? Put yourself in this guy's shoes. And Jesus is looking for him and finds him. And the first thing he says to him is, do you believe in the Son of God? Huh? Not what church do you belong to? Are you willing to go to church? Are you willing to pay 10%? Are you willing to do all these things and earn your way to being a good person now that I've helped you a little bit in life and now you can maybe pay me back and help me? Believe occurs 98 times in the book of John. Believe, 98 times. And that's the first thing he says, do you believe in the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe in him? He answered and says, and Jesus said to him, you have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you. Then he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. What a beautiful picture of salvation. What a beautiful picture of salvation. Lord, I believe. And he worshiped. You want any more proof that Jesus was God in the flesh? He worshiped this man, Jesus, who is also God. Wow. You want any more evidence? And there's plenty more. There were times in the Bible when angels would appear to people. People would fall down to worship. And they go, no. Don't worship me. I'm just an angel. Even though there's some supercharged angels out there called cherubim. You know, you're talking about angels. One little bitty angel, one just plain little ordinary soldier angel went through the camp of the Assyrians in one night and killed 180,000 people. Whoa, how about a cherubim? Woo, you talk about a nuclear bomb on steroids. Right. And why did God put a cherubim in the garden to protect them from coming back, Lynn? Research that one. Why do you need a cherubim? That's the mightiest of all angels. Yeah. Amen? I digress. He worshiped him. And Jesus said, for judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see. And those who see may be made blind. What's he talking about? He's talking to the religious ones that think they see. But they have to become like the blind man before Jesus can actually open their eyes. In other words, you've got to forget everything you've ever learned about church, God, religion, everything you've ever been taught since you were a baby. It's amazing, people, how Satan has controlled and deceived the entire world through religion. How many flavors and denominations and this and this and this. And he's right here saying, do you believe I am the Son of God? That's all you need to do. Open your eyes. So you've got to get rid of all that stuff. And my job as a pastor is to try to get all this lies put down where you can see the truth. The truth of who he is. And so he says, then some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words and said to him, are we blind also? Mm-hmm. They knew it. They knew they were blind. And they're going to ask this sinner, this fellow, who's just a sinner. He can't be of God. We've got Moses. We've got Abraham. We're people of God. Check our lineage. Check my genealogy. Check it out. Direct descendant from Abraham. Thank you very much. Everybody else can bow as you walk past me. Are we blind? Also, Jesus said to him, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore your sin remains. The beggar, born blind from birth. And remember, why was he born blind? Who sinned? Remember, we talked about this. Who sinned that he was born blind? Him or his parents? No one. He was born that the works of God might be revealed. What are the works of God? Goodness and mercy and grace to you forever and ever. Amen. Forever. He holds you right here. He's never going to let you go. He loves you deeply, cares for you more deeply than anybody in the world can ever care for you. Whatever comes against you, he'll say, she's mine, he's mine. Step back. Move over. I'm a jealous God. Don't go whoring out for other gods. I'm a jealous God. I'm going to bring you back. I got you. You don't need nobody else. You just walk with me. You hear this, young people? Walk with him. Every day in your heart, you pray, God, show me the way. And he is the way. Say, God, I want to know you more. He's going to reveal to you more and more. Young ones, listen to me. Okay? Amen. Father, we thank you for this time to hear your word and be encouraged of how much you love us. And Lord, we thank you for this little church of believers. We pray, Lord, that you send others that want to hear the truth and that you grow our congregation, not for any other purpose, but to hear the truth of your word. In Jesus' name, amen.